Welcome to Transave's Financial Wellbeing Masterclass. In each episode of the podcast, we will discuss topics that are important to understand if you are serious about improving your finances. Every episode, we will talk to a different guest who specializes in the topics we discuss, hopefully boosting your financial resilience. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Financial Wellbeing Masterclass. Today we are explaining what is a credit union. I'm Olivia Sharman, and today I'm talking to Ken Dunn, the Executive Director and Deputy CEO of Transave UK. Ken knows everything and anything about credit unions after a 40-year career in the sector. He is pretty much the perfect guest for this episode. So let's get started. So, hi, Ken. How are you today?
Good morning, Olivia. I'm fine, thanks. Are you okay?
I'm good, thank you. Ready good, for good. To talk about credit unions?
Yes, please.
So, the Bank of England recently published its annual credit union statistical report from September 2020, showing that credit unions now serve over 2 million people in the UK and collectively hold assets worth over $3 billion. But a lot of people still don't know really what a credit union is. So can you please define, Ken, what is a credit union?
Okay, well, I'll try. in simple terms, a credit union is a financial cooperative. Mm-hmm. And that co-op is formed by people who've got something in common. So yeah. That could be that they live in the same area, they work for the same company, they go to the same association or church. And that link that ties everyone together is called a common bond.
Yep.
And there's different types of common bond, which I think we'll talk about later.
Yeah, we will save that one.
Good. We'll not get into
don't
detail
spoil
on
it.
That. So members of the co-op who've got that bond, of course, can save regularly. And they save via payroll deductions normally or things like direct debits. And any savings that they have are protected under the Financial Services Compensation Scheme. Yep. So the same as a bank or a building society, they're covered up to £85,000 of deposits. If you've got your savings, but you still need a little bit more money for one of those nice things like a holiday, if we can remember those all that time ago, you can apply for a loan. And the loans with the credit union are very affordable, very competitive. The loans come out of that pot of savings that's built up from members, and the interest that we charge is very competitive. Any profit that we make from that interest is put back into the credit union to cover costs. We build up reserves, and then whatever's left is paid back to members as a dividend. We offer other services, a lot of credit unions. And one of the main points is a credit union, because it's a co-op, is owned by its members.
Yeah.
The members at AGMs elect the directors. They have a say in what the level of dividend paid is, all those sorts of major decisions. So in short, a credit union is a bit like a member-owned ethical bank or building society. And the same as a bank or a building society, we're regulated by the same people. BRA and FCA.
Yeah, that's how I kind of always describe it to people. Kind of it's an ethical
but
bank.
shorter and better, I bet, than that.
No, that was good. That was very thorough. I think the primary purpose of a credit union is to encourage members to save, isn't it? Even if they do take out a loan, it's still saving is a big priority. So what is the difference between a community and employer credit union?
Yeah, I mean, I've been around credit unions for the best part of 40 years.
So when you know I a first, lot.
Well, no, I still don't know anything. But when I first started, there were lots of different types of common bond, different types of credit union. So just one little example, I hate to branch out into this, but in the old days, I remember there was a credit union called the Antiquarian Booksellers this credit union.
Right.
And the thing they had in common was they sold old valuable books. Now, there wasn't many of them in that credit union and it went bust, but that's just an example. There were some very strange credit unions. But over the years, things have settled down. So there's now, as you rightly say, two main types of common bond, two types of credit union. One is called a community credit union. I guess everything is a community of interest, you know. So when people say a community credit union, what they normally mean is a geographically based credit union. Mm-hmm. So some examples of that is Sheffield Credit Union.
Yeah.
So it's in anyone who lives or works within a given area. And the other type of credit union is a common bond that's similar to Transaves. So mm-hmm. it's being employed by a certain company or you do the same job or profession. So as you know, Transaves, we started off as one bus company in mm-hmm. South Yorkshire, and now our common bond is anyone who's involved in land-based public transport. Yeah. But we've also got those other things like NHS, if you work for the NHS, South Yorkshire Police. Mm-hmm. I guess the main difference traditionally has been most employee credit unions are larger in scale, tend to be larger. They tend to have more paid employees and offer more services. Mm-hmm. And quite often have more digital offerings as well. So they're more, you know, IT savvy, I think, and have more resources. Having said that, some of the community credit unions now are very large. So if you took London Mutual, for example, it covers, you know, about half of London. And they, you know, the scale and the resources they have, they're equal to, in terms of services and everything, any employee credit union. So yeah, not so clear cut these days, mm-hmm. but that's the main difference. It's whether you work for a certain employer or you live in a certain area.
So what are the benefits of being a member of a credit union?
Oh, millions of benefits, yes.
I was going to say, we haven't got time to name them
all. One credit union slogan that I particularly like from the old days is, we used to say credit unions are not for profit, mm-hmm. not for charity, but for service. And if you break that down, you kind of get the benefits that people get. So the not-for-profit bit, of course, we need to make money to pay the running costs and return to members. But that's not the reason why we exist. Mm-hmm. It's something that's necessary, but not why we exist. But neither are we a charity. We don't just give money away irresponsibly, because we've got a duty of care and we have to look after members' money. It's responsible lending and thinking about members' needs all the time. That's foremost in our thoughts. Mm-hmm. So what we're really for is service. So our mission, if you like, is to provide affordable, high quality services for members that benefit them. And some of those benefits we've discussed already, savings, you know, safe savings.
Yeah.
And those savings, normally in a credit union, you'll get a better return on those savings than you would with a bank at the moment. What are banks paying at the moment?
Not much.
0.01. So credit unions, Transave have paid an average of 2% for 25 years. Mm-hmm. So you get a better return. The affordable loans we've discussed, and for large loans, we might not be able to match some of the advertised rates of banks, mm-hmm. but then you have to be careful, because some of those advertised rates will not be what most people would get. You have to have a good credit rating and no history. So
it's a higher standard, isn't it? A higher standard to qualify for a loan from a bank.
Yeah.
Whereas I think credit unions are a bit more forgiving, but obviously still being a responsible lender. And if someone was on the brink of getting a loan, we could point them in the direction of financial education, or if they needed it.
Yeah. I mean, we're responsible lenders, but we have much more sympathy, don't we, with the members' real position. And our rates for the small loans are very competitive, and especially with, as you know, we do an instant loan, which is it's not share attached. You don't use your savings as security. Mm-hmm. And they're short-term loans.
Yeah.
And if you think back to the days of some of those lenders who don't exist anymore, like Wonga or even Provident, who've mm-hmm. recently gone out of business, some of the rates that they used to charge were thousands of percent, and we charge 24%. So it's, you know, that's a bargain. Other benefits, most things these days with credit unions can be done online, and we have lots of easy ways for people, you know, safe, secure ways of people transacting.
Yeah.
And we have a range of services now, you know, we're not just a one-trick pony. And then the final benefit is the credit union is your credit union. You own it, you have a say in how it's run. Mm-hmm. It's democratic. So, you know, everything we do is for the member.
Yeah.
We wouldn't provide a product unless it was in their benefits rather than ours.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's one of the main benefits of credit unions, I think.
Yeah, I would say as well, just to add on, it's a personalized customer service. So a lot of our members still ring the office. They want to speak to someone and they can have a chat, and people kind of recognize voices now, don't they, in our team. They're kind of friends over the phone, and they can talk to them and catch up and explain things, and yeah, it's a bit more friendly.
Yeah, not everyone's comfortable with this digital revolution, are they? You know? And I think it's always good to know that there's someone, as you say, who's friendly and can help you at the end of a phone call.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So obviously there's a lot of benefits to being a member of a credit union, but as we've said, not a lot of people know about them. So what can we do to increase the awareness of credit unions?
It's quite tricky, this, because credit unions charge lower rates compared to banks and know, those other high street companies. And we're relatively small compared to NatWest and Barclays, for example. We can't afford to spend the vast amounts of money that they spend on advertising on TV and on digital platforms and everything else. So we've got to be a little bit savvy. So one thing we can do is get help from others. So we rely mainly on word of mouth and support and promotion from politicians, for example. Mm-hmm. Most governments, whether they, whatever political persuasion, they're supportive of credit unions. Employers, you know, we know, obviously, we work with 80-odd employers, and to a greater or lesser extent, they're very supportive and publicise the credit union.
Yeah.
There's examples even of companies that have tried opt-in auto-enrollment or opt-out auto-enrollment, similar to pensions, whereby people are automatically enrolled with the credit union for saving.
Yeah.
So that's good to spread the word, because they've got to be in it and they will like it. and beyond that, you know, third party support and awareness raising, credit unions themselves, I don't have to tell you because you're much more of an expert than me, but we're pretty good at social media, using that to great effect, and especially by sort of pointing out those differences between us and the rest of the financial industry. And the short answer, I guess, is spread the word, whoever you are, you know, tell your friends, your family, your colleagues, retweet, like, link, share, and just talk about us, you know, that, I mean, it's as simple as that, really, because that's what we need. We need the word spreading in lots of different channels and in lots of different ways.
Yeah, I think what we've in the marketing department have been working on is different types of content and how people can absorb that, really, just making it available and accessible to everyone who wants to learn about even just financial education.
Yeah.
But as you've said, just promoting it even within your company, or if you are a member of us, then we do have, obviously, our refer a colleague scheme, that if you sign someone up, then you both get a reward, £25 reward in your Transave account. So that's a little bit of a benefit as well.
Bravery always works. Yes, I'd love to give you £1 million budget, but but I can't. But what we do, you know, you and Roger and the team do very well. And I think we've got to be, as you say, imaginative and savvy. with all of that.
Yeah, I think, well, I've been looking at some statistics, and 41% of Brits don't have enough savings to live for a month without income. And mm-hmm. 1 in 10 Brits don't have any savings at all.
I know.
So it's scary. People don't think about saving. But as I've kind of discussed on other podcasts, like budget planning, it's something you need to start thinking about, isn't it, really?
Yeah, never too soon.
It's never too soon.
Don't get to my age and then say, oh.
Oh, no. Exactly. So we have kind of touched on this, but banks versus credit unions, what is the difference?
Okay. Don't get me started. I could be very negative about banks. Anyone who can remember, you know, the crisis, then crash, then recession mm-hmm. of 2007-08, and yeah. I think it's about the third recession I've been through in my lifetime. You could be very negative about how they performed during that, and yeah. that gets to the root of some of the differences. So the main obvious difference is about ownership and how they run. So as we've discussed already, credit unions are owned by their members
yeah.
and they have a say in what happens. They're not for profit, you know, whereas banks, the big two differences, they're owned by private individuals or corporations,
yeah.
shareholders, external yeah. shareholders, who need a good return on, mm-hmm. on their investment.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can lead, and I think most people would say that was the cause of the crash, it can lead to a drive for looking for new markets that they shouldn't get into. Mm-hmm. So 2007-08, a lot of people would say that was caused by subprime lending to people who they should never have loaned to
yeah.
to buy houses, mortgages, especially in the United States. And of course, the argument was, well, house prices will always go up. So even if they default on their loans, we'll get the money back because we can get their house. When house prices dropped and everything crashed, the whole of the finance industry crashed with it.
Yeah.
So those other risky things they do, you know, short-term lending and all the lovely things that mm-hmm. banks do, that by law, actually, credit unions aren't allowed to do, but morally we wouldn't. We don't go in for short-term lending and all those investments, hedge funds and things. So, yeah, I mean, we've discussed already the direct see that people have in a credit union. And the difference in attitude, really, I guess, that gives you, you know, that mutual dimension to credit unions that isn't there in yeah. banks. So we're committed to transparency, good conduct, fairness. And I'm sure banks would say that, but there are lots of examples where they haven't been. So, for example, the PPI crisis, where yes. credit unions were not involved in PPI because no. we wouldn't have offered that.
No.
And the latest one, which is, you know, queuing up there, is managed accounts, where you get mm-hmm. an account that you pay a fee for and you get all sorts yeah. of benefits, which sometimes are not appropriate benefits for the member, for yeah. the person.
Yeah. But
so we're always responsible and sympathetic in everything we do. And some would argue banks are not always behaving in that manner. I could report yeah. them to the FCA, couldn't I? But
yeah, I think that is kind of sums it up. Like we put the member first.
Yeah.
We listen to their needs and kind of develop products and services that we think they might need or want. So yeah, and it's affordable yeah, loans we're the good guys. We want people to save, and if they do need a loan, then we offer products kind of that are suited for those individuals and rates that are easily affordable whilst always keeping the savings there at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, appropriate. That's the key word, isn't it?
Yeah.
It has to be appropriate, whereas I think banks and sometimes their employees have been found to have sold products because of the profits they bring in or the you know, the benefits that employees got for selling those products in some cases.
Yeah.
And that's something I think we would never do.
So I think to sum up, really, everyone needs to get on findyourcreditunion.com and...
Absolutely, yes. Join the credit union, do it now. I was going to go into Bob Geldof more then, but then he swore, I think, at that point.
No.
Just join the credit union.
No, thank you, Ken. You've been a great guest on this episode, and you've lived up to your name of the Oracle of Credit Unions.
Oh, no, thank you, Olivia. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Olivia.
We hope you have taken something from today's discussion that can help you become more financially resilient. If you have any questions at all about today's episode or financial well-being, please drop me an email at olivia.sharman@transsaveuk.co.uk. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and recommend your friends to listen. Bye!